Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Thank you. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. Before you sit down, yeah, see that? You guys are definitely from Edenvale. Yes. Did you see how quick that was? It's like, oh, okay, sharp. It's like, I worship was tiring, right? Don't make us stand. Can we pray? Is that okay? God, this morning we thank you so much for the privilege of coming together as your church. God, we don't take this lightly. Amazing things happen when we gather. Lives are changed. Families are changed. In worship, we connect with your heart. You speak to us. You move our hearts. We have the opportunity to give and be generous. We connect. We grow. We fellowship. So much happens in community. And so we don't take this lightly. God, may your hand be upon us. May your spirit speak to us and convict us. And for every single person in this room, whatever we need, may we receive it this morning. For those who need encouragement, may this word be encouraging. For those who need correction, for those who need hope, may they find hope. For those who simply just need to be strengthened, and for those who need to be reminded of your truth, may they find it this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and grab your seats. Now you can sit down. Man, I love your church so much. You guys, honestly, your church is such an example. And your leaders are such good examples of good leaders, of good people. They hold the perfect balance between great leaders and relatable people, you know? Sometimes you have like great leaders and you're like, oh, hi. You know, you're not, it's like, thou shalt not touch God's anointed, you know? You don't know if you can from a distance there, you know? But Pastor B and Pastor Cans are just relatable. They are people's people. Every time you're in their presence, they make you feel like you matter. And I just think you guys have the most incredible leaders, and you should honor them every chance you get. So why don't we honor them this morning? And they definitely make us people with funny surnames feel loved and seen by the world. You know, we really do, because it's like, okay, you grow up just thinking it's, am I the only one? Then you meet them, you're like, oh, I'm not the only one. Thank you, Jesus. And I don't know what it's like. Like, I know what it's like in a Roy Baike household. It's, you know, we've gotten used to the teasing and all of that. But I'm like, we've turned that into a strength. Like, we like the Roy Five, you know? How do you think they would strengthen the chicken thing? It's like, like, what would they do? Like, does Pastor Candace, like, you know, when she makes dinner, it's like, winner, winner, chicken dinner. And then everybody comes to the table. I don't know how they do that, but I would. At least if I were them, I would do that. That should be a thing. Just shout it and everyone comes to the table. I thought Pastor Cans was the fun aunt in the beginning, nah? The fun mom. And then I realized, no, Pastor Cans is the strict one. I must be careful. Hey, this morning, as I kick off your series, I'm very excited for this, and this is something that's very dear to my heart. And so, regardless of where you're at in your family, I really believe this is going to benefit you. If this is, you know, if this is the first time you having a family, if you've got a little one and you've just started a family, if you are a seasoned family person, if your kids are out the house, empty nest syndrome, if you are single and you are hoping to have a family, or if you're dating and you're hoping to start a family, Josh. I don't know where he is, but hopefully he. Who said too young? Auntie. How old are you? Leicester. He's 20. You know Mary, nah? The mother of Jesus. She. I don't let me bring out the word, auntie. Ik wil net zeggen. Listen here, nah. How long have you guys been together now? And you still haven't secured the bag. Damn, wat gaan hier zo aan? Where's your? Who are you waiting for? This, you don't have to do cows here, nothing. You must just. At least if you were saying, look, I'm waiting for the cows or. Anyways, for the rest of us that have families, I just want to encourage you that this is something that all of us can benefit from. all of us should benefit from. Many of us come from families, and I'm sure many of us would be able to say, you know, if I knew this when I was younger, if my parents knew this, I mean, don't put your hand up, but how many of us, like, if my parents knew these things, knew these principles, you know, how many of us leading families have gotten to a place where we say things to ourselves, we're like, you know what, when you're younger, I'm never going to let my kids, and then when you have kids, you just do the things you said you would never do because, you know. Maybe your parents or your families did certain things and you're like, you know, my family will never. And so what you do is you overcompensate. Not the healthiest thing either. And so can I encourage you for the rest of the series? I know your team is going to do an amazing job. But this morning, I'm going to kick this off. And I speak not as someone who's an expert at this. I still have a lot to learn. But I come from a broken home. My parents got divorced when I was in first year of varsity. And I thought it wouldn't affect me because I was already out the house. I was living on campus. I had moved to the Val. I'm like, sort yourselves out. And, I grew up with an alcoholic dad who had, you know, quite a violent tendency, but a mom who loved Jesus and prayed consistently for us. In fact, my mom's strategy was this. Before they go to bed, I'm going to read the Word. But unlike, you know, modern parents who realize that there are other parts of the Bible as well, my mom read the Psalms every night. Not a verse, a chapter at a time. So what do you think happens when she got to, like, you know, Psalm 119? Did she break it up? No. I've fallen asleep to so many Psalms. So many Psalms. Which I think is actually a good strategy. I think that was her plan. It's like, let me read these kids the Psalms so they can go to bed. And so, you know, that's where I come from. And not only that, as we know, when Shani and I got married, we're heading on 11 years now. So when we got married, I realized that my parents' separation had a bigger impact on me than I realized. Because now all of those insecurities are coming out. What if this ends like it did for my parents? What if I become like my dad? And so I realized all of these things started coming out. And I needed to find a way to do family differently. I needed to let God lead me. And I remember speaking to my wife one day, and I said to her, listen, man, I'm so fearful of this. Like, I have to be careful. I can't become like my dad. I can't lead my family the way my dad did. And I remember one thing she said to me that changed everything. She said, here's the difference between you and your dad. You have Jesus. Your dad didn't. And that just brought so much clarity. And she says, you can't expect things from him that he's not able to give in and of himself, right? He didn't have Jesus. He didn't know better. You do, so you can do different. And so that's not even part of my sermon. Can you believe it? That's for free. Now we start. So here's a question for those of you who lead families or are in families. Here's a question to ask. What does this mean for me? I want you to keep that question in the back of your mind throughout the course of the series. Because many people might say, you know what, I don't have a family. I'm just a son in the house, a daughter in the house. I'm a sibling, whatever. But as we do that, we don't realize we dismiss the opportunity for us to learn, right? And so regardless of the role you play in your family, just keep asking yourself, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for me? What does this mean for me? And you'll be guaranteed to get some questions or some clarity and decisions that you need to make to change. So here's a question I've got for you. If your family were to be asked a question right now. If someone were to come to your family and say, hey, what's the one thing that your family needs from you right now more than anything else? What do you think their answer would be? If I were to ask husbands, hey, husbands, what's the one thing that you think your family needs from you right now? Wives, what's the one thing that you think your family needs? If you're a son or a daughter in the house, what's the one thing you think your family needs from you? Whatever the role you play is, what do you think the answer would be? Right? And I think some of us think we know the answer. We might be like, you know what, my small little bratty kids would definitely be like, Daddy, I need an endless supply of Bluey DVDs and merchandise. That's probably what my kids would say. I don't know if you're in the Bluey season or the Peppa Pig season or the Paw Patrol season, and I hope these seasons come to an end really quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. My daughter watches so much of these things, she takes on the accents of the characters. Right? So Peppa Pig is like, Daddy. Like, hey, that's Daddy. Daddy. Not Daddy. Yo. So maybe for you, maybe you would think, you know, husbands might think, I think I know what my wife would want. You know, she'd say, hey, listen, we need a longer holiday. You know, we need a longer getaway, or, you know, we need a new car. Well, I need a new car, or whatever she'd say. Or maybe I need you home a little bit more often, you know. Or maybe you think, you know, the one thing that I need right now is I need you to listen more. And every husband's like, sorry, what was that? Yeah, you lekker, man. What do you think the one thing is that your family needs from you right now? It might not be said in these many words, but if I could make a guess, based on just my experience with people and what I've learned as a pastor over the years, here's the thing that I can offer you this morning that I think will help. The one thing that our families want from us is simply to feel like they are our priority. Whatever their answer might be, at the root of that, what they will be trying to say is this: I want to feel like I am your priority, right? I don't want to feel like you're making an effort to provide or whatever. Those are all good things, and we love and appreciate it. But what I do is I want to feel like I am, in fact, your priority. Like we are your priority. That's really what we want. And people might phrase it differently. Some people might say things like, you know what, all I want is, let's have, you know, 10, 15, 30 minutes of uninterrupted time at the end of the day. You know, maybe that's their way of saying, I want to feel like I'm your priority. Maybe it's, hey, can we go to a restaurant and not take our phones into the restaurant this time? What they're trying to say is, I want to feel like you are present. I want to feel like I am your priority. Maybe it's the words, hey, something came up, but hey, I just want you to know I canceled it because I want to spend this time with you. Maybe what they're saying is, hey, something came up, but I want you to know that you are my priority. Why is this important? It's important because for many of us, the reality that we live in is that something is always competing for our time and attention. Something is always, always competing for our time and attention, and sometimes it is to the detriment of our family. Why? Because we always assume that our families know, right? And they do know. Our families know that we love them, that we care for them, that we do anything for them, that we'd move heaven and earth for them. They know that, but do they feel that? I know you love me, but I don't feel like you love me right now. Because you've been putting us aside, putting that other thing first. Young people, teenagers, you know, I know we're all about the vibes, but do your family feel your presence? I know we get to that stage where we're like, all we want to do is leave the house, you know. I've got friends, they're doing a thing. Mom, can I go? I've got a thing. Hey, we're going to a family thing. Yeah, but I've got a thing. Listen, leave your thing. Let the family feel like they are your priority. All of us in our families can play this role well. Something is always competing for our time, attention. In other words, something is always wanting to be our priority. Not always family, other things. Sometimes it's work, sometimes it's events, sometimes it's our schedules, sometimes it's our extramural activities, our sports, our hobbies, whatever it is. Something is always vying for our attention, our priority. And so you and I need to put the effort in to ensure that we do what we need to do to make our families feel like they are our priority. This doesn't come naturally. I know we think it does, but it takes a bit of time, it takes a bit of effort, and it takes a bit of, you know, moving things around, making people say, hey, I need you to know, I need you to feel like you are my priority. Every time we say yes to something, we're saying no to something else. And here's the thing, I don't want you to walk away you're feeling guilty. Sometimes we do have to say yes to certain things. I remember I learned something many years ago from Pastor T.D. Jakes, and people asked him, you know, as a great, you know, communicator and speaker and businessman and music producer and movie maker, like he does all these things, how do you stay on top of things? And I remember the answer he gave was so profound. He says, the reality is, in doing all of this, you will always drop a ball. Every time I'm traveling, I'm dropping the father ball. Every time I'm doing this, I'm dropping the director ball. However, the challenge is, try not to drop the same ball twice. Right? Just try not to drop the same ball twice. If I say yes to this, I'm dropping that ball. If I say yes to something else, I'm dropping that ball again. The more consistently we drop the same ball, the more the other person on the other side, our family, start to know what to expect from us. We always find ourselves in this tension. We always find ourselves in this tension between loving and prioritizing our families and doing the things that we need to do to provide and, you know, things like work and the things that are expected of us. We're forever living in this tension. In other words, if I can just simplify it, we always find ourselves in this tension of doing and being. Right? I need to be a good husband, a good father, a good leader. But I still need to do the things I need to do in terms of my role and my function in what I do as my career or whatever it is. And so I live in this tension between being and doing, and this is not new. Because we were created for both. We were created to be with God and to do what God has called us to do. Have a look back at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Some of you are probably thinking, when are we going to get into the Bible? Here we go. Don't get too excited. It's just one verse. Then I'm going to speak nonsense again after that. Genesis 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God placed the man in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and guard it. In other words, God gave mankind something to do. That was there long ago. Many of us might be thinking, yes, I can't wait to stop this work thing. Work was there before. Nah? So you must just have the right perspective of it. Work was there. Listen, work was there before Eve came along. Perspective, nah? Some guys are like, yeah, no, I can't wait to be a house husband. Hey, chill, bruh. Work was there before Eve came along, right? That's verse 15. Verse 18, then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to live alone. Nah, Josh, amen. Yeah. You missed such a good opportunity. I will make him a suitable companion to help him. That's the being element. Being with someone, being the role that you play beyond just your function and what you do, cultivating the soil, right? And so we see those two were meant to work harmoniously, that I am being and I am doing, right? And then Genesis chapter 3, 19, when everything went haywire and sinfulness entered the human condition, then those two started being a tension. And then we see part of the curse, Genesis 3:19. You will have to work hard and sweat to make the soil produce anything until you go back to the soil from which you were formed. And so suddenly we see part of the curse becoming that, you know, this tension between doing and being and the tension between relationships as well and marriages and family, all of that came as a result of the fall. And so innately, naturally, this is something that doesn't come naturally to us. We are hardwired to just want to serve ourselves because of the consequences of the fall. However, it takes intentionality and it takes wisdom to put the other person first and recreate or reintroduce the balance of doing and being within the context of family. Otherwise, my natural inclination, I'm just speaking honestly, my natural inclination is I am very much a workaholic. And if I could, I would spend every bit of time doing what I do because I love what I do. Yeah. And so my wife often has had to remind me, listen, you can close your laptop now. In fact, I remember when our middle daughter, Amelia, was young. And one day I would try to play with her, you know, and she'd be off. She's very much okay on her own. And so she'd go off and she'd play and she'd whatever. And the one day, I remember trying to just play with her and teasing. And she goes, Daddy, just go. Go to your laptop and work. You're okay. It made me reflect because that's probably all she sees me doing. And so all of this, for many of us, we have to take a step back and reevaluate consistently, not just once off, consistently, as to what this means for us. So I know many of us might find ourselves in this position where we think, okay, well, this looks different for us because our family is a bit different. Our family is wired different. And maybe you're going through a season where one person maybe has had to take or pick up the weight and the other person has had to push a bit forward. And I understand this. This is very much a part of family dynamics. Maybe one person has chosen, hey, I'm going to upskill myself. And so because I upskill myself, you might need to carry the weight for the season. I'm going back to school. I'm going to study. Or one person in your family might be saying, hey, I'm getting ready to start a business. This might mean that, you know, you need to carry the weight or the financial weight for the next season while rebuilding our business together, whatever it is. And that's okay. The challenge with that is just, here's one thing I would love for you to do, is when that time comes, simply communicate with clarity regularly. Don't assume that, hey, she knows I'm starting a business, or he knows I'm starting a business, he knows I'm going to be out more, he knows it's going to take a financial strain, or he needs to know. No. Communicate with clarity. Just say, hey, you know we're doing this, right? You know why we're doing this. You know what we're working towards, right? Are we still okay? Are we still on the same page? Just communicate with clarity regularly. You know what that does? That eliminates the assumption that, they know. How many of us have found ourselves saying, you know, my family knows I love them. Husbands, she knows I love them. I told her that on our wedding day, and if anything changes, I'll let her know. Why must I say it every 5 years? She knows. She knows. You know. Yeah, I told you, you know. Don't assume that your spouse or your family know your good intentions. Make sure they hear it from you. Make sure they hear it verbally. Make sure they hear it reaffirmed, because that helps. I remember a book I read when we were in the season, just to give you context, when this really became real for us. In 2017, I was running a photography business. I used to shoot weddings. I was a wedding photographer, and I was on full-time staff at church. And our church was going through a transition, and during that time, my wife and I were asked to lead our church. And so I went from being a youth pastor and a multimedia guy, and she went from being the kids pastor to leading the church while I was running a business on the side. And our daughter Amelia was born the very same month. So November 2017 has been ingrained in my memory as the dark ages. When people say the dark ages, my head just goes back there, because I was out every night of the week. We were bringing stability to a very, very broken church at the time. I was having to be out late on Saturdays while preaching 3 services on a Sunday. It was insane. And I remember this became a weight, and my wife and I had very tense, loving, tense conversations. And I remember coming across a book by Andy Stanley called When Work and Family Collide. It was almost like an answer to my prayers at the time. And I just got straight into it. And I'm not much of a reader. I don't read many books, but this one really helped. And there's an illustration that Pastor Andy Stanley makes that I remember changed my perspective. Like, you know when something is just profound in the season, you need it. I remember Sean and I had these conversations, and from this I realized that, I assumed that she knew what needed to be done. It's like, hey, we've got a new family, we've taken over a new church and all of this, so you should assume. But I learned the importance of clarity in that season. Because here's what happens. Let me explain it. So, Josh, since you haven't popped the question yet, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Why don't you and Taz come up here quickly and just help me up. Listen, ma'am, today you might be lucky. I don't know. Let's see after this. I want you to please grab this for me. And no. You've taken your time. Take your time now. Just go stand. Go stand over there. I just want you to hold it for me. Okay, just hold it. So here's what happens. Anytime in our families, anytime one person has to do something that causes them to kind of, maybe it's work or whatever. Anytime one person has to do something, the other person is usually left holding a bucket, right? This represents just the weight of leading a family, you know. Maybe some of you have kids, maybe you don't. Maybe some of you have responsibilities in the home, whatever. So she is carrying the weight when he leaves to do whatever he does. And so I just want you to imagine this for a second. Every time she's left holding a bucket, you out, you securing the bag, you making money, you doing the things. And so let's assume that, you know, this is not a weapon. You have to tell that to colored people. You have to communicate with clarity regularly. Nah? So just imagine this for a second, you know. He says to Taz, hey, listen, I want you to this weekend, I need to be out, I need to do whatever. Would you just cover things for me and, you know, I'll be back. And she's like, she loves him. I hope so, at least. Yeah, you do, yeah. So she loves him and she does the things and he leaves, right? And then he comes back home, hey, I love you, da-da-da-da-da, have a week or whatever. And every time he needs to leave again, he's adding another weight. Hey, I need to leave again, there we go. I need to do my thing and blah, blah, blah. Well, but you're still okay, nah? This is not too heavy. No? You must tell me if it gets too heavy. Okay, cool. and he leaves again, and he does his thing, and, you know, he's got money to make, and he's, you know, I'm providing for my family, and, you know, you come back, and you do your thing, and, you know, it's all good. And, hey, listen, there's a thing that came up, and Thrive was having a conference last week. Listen, it's going to be hectic, guest speakers, I need to be there the whole week. Would you just take care of things, right? And she carries on, and listen, she's willing. Listen, she loves the guy. You know, there's nothing she wouldn't do for him. And I mean, for many of us, that's the case. It's like, of course, I love you. Like, don't doubt that, right? And so you continue. Are there more bricks? Yay! Edenvale, you guys left. Just leave your bricks lying around here. These people are, you know, something else here. Cool. And you just keep adding to the weight. And she looks okay, so... there we go. And he goes away and he does his thing and conference is done. And then his boss calls him and says, listen, man, I need you, you know, to sort some stuff out. And he just... yes, they don't make these children like they used to anymore, nah? So you just keep holding that. You come stand with me. Just keep going. You'll be fine. So here's what many people don't see. All he sees is the individual moments that he's asking her to carry the weight. See, what he doesn't see is the other weight she's been carrying that's compounded to the initial weight. Right? And she's standing there and she's like, hey, listen, I've got this. I love you. This is all good. I understand the mission. I know what we're doing. I know you're building a business. I know we want to be financially free or secure or whatever it is. And so she's got the willingness to keep doing it. And as long as she's got the willingness, he's fine. I mean, they're not fighting about it. She hasn't brought it up. It's been all good. And this is for many of us. Shame, are you okay there? Okay. And for many of us, this is the reality. However, after some time, this does become heavy because, Shame, you can. Oh, yeah, no, I see. Yeah, near. Woo! But here's the thing. What happens is, eventually, when this bucket gets too full, not only does she put it down, she drops it. Why? Because even though she has the willingness, she might not have the emotional or mental capacity. Right? She's willing. Is she willing? Yes. But she's only got so much capacity. Now, here's the challenge. When he comes back from his last one and he's like, you know, I've had a good deal. I sealed the deal and whatever. And he comes back. He's like, what is going on? There's rocks all over the place. The bucket is broken. Hey, babe, we need to have a chat. And she's like, listen, I love you. Okay, you guys can go sit. Shame. I'm going to stand around all awkward. Thank you very much. So this is going to be my illustration for the next. Cool. I hope this speeds up your, I don't know. So here's the thing. Our families are always left holding some sort of weight. And whenever we return, whatever role you play in your family, and we find that, okay, someone's dropped the bucket. It's not because they didn't love anymore, or they didn't support anymore, or they didn't believe in the dream anymore. We need to understand everybody has capacity, right? Emotional capacity, mental capacity. And so for many people, when we look from the outside, we ask ourselves the question, man, that family looked so, it looked like everything was going well. What happened? What happened was, at some point, our capacity overpowered our willingness. Our capacity, my ability to hold this for a prolonged period of time, eventually came to an end, and I needed to put it down. And to the other person, it looked like I was no longer committed. It looked like I was no longer able. It looked like I simply didn't believe in it. All of those things applied. She believed in it. She was committed. However, there's only so much capacity. So what do we do with this? We need to understand, and this is, I love this because this has become standard language. In fact, Shani and I had some conversations, and this has become the perfect framework for how we engage, where Shani says to me, hey, I need you to understand that my bucket's getting heavy now. When things get a bit tough and when I've been out for a while or whatever that looks like, when she's been carrying the weight, we have to get to a point where she puts the bucket down and she says, listen, my bucket's gotten too heavy. And I know exactly what she means. Because I understand that every time I'm away, she's left carrying the weight. We've got three beautiful kids. They're not the easiest. They are very busy. And for many of you, you have your situation is the same. And so sometimes all that needs to happen is we need to become familiar with understanding that every time you are left carrying the bucket, I need to play my role and relieve that bucket from you. Because your capacity will stretch further every time I remove it from you and just carry it for a little bit. You know, just, hey, stretch your arms, go for a walk, go for a spa day, do what you need to do. You know, hey, you've been carrying the bucket. You know what, you go for a golf day, go to the gym. I don't know what men do these days. You know, go shoot something. I don't know. Not a person, a target, a target. Or a buck. Yes. But for many of us, this illustrates the challenge for many families that we don't have the ability to communicate with clarity that, hey, I love you, but I can't carry this weight any longer. My arms are starting to shake. I don't have the ability. I have the love and the willingness. I just don't have the ability to hold it any longer. And so eventually when someone chooses to walk away, when someone said, you know, I've had enough, what we hear is you don't love me anymore. No, no, no. I still love you. I just don't have the ability anymore. My parents were married for 19 years. My father was an alcoholic, back and forth. He's been to rehab 4 times. I saw my mom go through this phase where the bucket got too heavy. She said, I still love him so much. And my sister and I sat with her and we said, listen, what are you doing? She says, I still love him so much. I just can't anymore. And I didn't understand it at the time. And today I understand that for many of us, we simply need to communicate with clarity and maybe just use the framework to say, hey, can we reconvene? Can we come together? Can we alleviate these buckets from one another? Because that might help us go further, longer. The goal is for every family to get to a place where they end well. For no one's bucket to break and everything to fall out and marriages and families to come to a short end simply because we weren't able to communicate with clarity regularly, right? The goal is that we get to a place where it's like, hey, we take the weight off each other, not abdicate the weight to someone else. That I take your weight from you when it's needed and you take my weight from me when it's needed, but we'll come together and alleviate each other, not just like, hey, you good? You good. Keep doing your thing. No, no, no. Take the weight off sometimes. Put the buckets down. Have some time together. Find the joy. Find the purpose. Find the laughs. You know, and this is why I fully believe, just have moments at the family, like Friday nights, whatever that looks like. Have moments where everybody puts their buckets down, you know, and we just have a good time. Listen, our Roy household is insane. We have dance parties. I love it. I love my crazy kids. I say that to remind myself. That's not, I'm kidding. But find time in whatever way is suitable to your family to put the buckets down and say, hey, let's just reconvene. Let's have fun again. Let me read you this account from Luke chapter 10. And it says this. Now, while they were on their way, Jesus entered a village called Bethany, and the woman named Martha welcomed him to her home. She had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. But Martha was very busy and distracted with all her serving responsibilities. And she approached him and said, Lord, is it of no concern to you that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to come and help me. So how many of us in our families were to go to Jesus? Listen, Lord, does it not bother you that my husband is? Does it not bother you that my wife is? Tell them to help me. Right? Tell them, do they not see the socks? Do they not see the dishes? Do they not see the yard? Do they not see? Jesus, talk to your bra. But the Lord replied to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered and anxious about many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which is to her advantage, which will never be taken away from her. You know what I find amazing about the scriptures? At that moment, Martha's expectation was that Jesus affirms her, right? But what I find amazing is that Jesus reminds her of the importance of being over doing. What I love is that rather than affirming, you know, the busyness, it's like, no, yeah, it's good, you know, work hard or whatever, and those things are good, in that moment, and I'm that wasn't like a pattern consistently, that was like, in that moment, it's like, hey, learn to be right now. I'm here, she is here, make the most of it. I'm present, she's present, that's what she's getting right. Right? When it's time to work, it's time to work, work hard. But when it's time to be, it's time to be well. Right? This illustration is the perfect guideline for you and I to simply look at everything in our lives. Look at work. When you're at work, be at work. Do the things you need to do. But when you're with family and be present. So here are some guiding questions before we wrap up that I'm really believing will get you to step back, look at your family holistically, and just consider what this looks like for you. Number one, what one thing can I do regularly to make my family feel like they are my priority? What one thing can I do regularly? Not once off, not once a year, not just regularly, every now and again. I want them to feel like they are my priority. Whatever role you play in your home, this is a good question for you to answer. Second question, this is for some of you who it applies to. What is the current state of our buckets? When was the last time we did a little bit of a bucket audit, a family bucket audit? When was the last time we sat down and said, hey, how are you doing with everything? How are you doing with the work and the weight and the kids and the, you know, how are you doing with handling our home? How are you doing with the finances? How are we doing? When was the last time we were willing to be honest and say, hey, this is actually a bit much for me? Rather than thinking, oh, you know, I have to do it, so I have to do it. Just communicate honestly and say, you know, this is getting heavy for me. Can we find a way around this? Here's a question for those of us who, like me, tend to be workaholics and you are very driven. When it comes to pressure, maybe work pressure, how much of the expectations we're trying to live up to has been set by us versus by others? Because I'm willing to bet that when we peel back the layers, for many of us who are driven, for many of us who love what we do, for many of us who have, you know, high capacity and huge drive, for many of us, we might peel back the layers and realize that we think that these expectations are put there by others, but in reality, they're put there by ourselves. I remember when I became the leader of our church, I inserted a journal entry, and I said to myself, this is what I want our church to look like in 5 years. And I had a list of stuff. Not realizing that firstly, I'm repairing a church that was broken. And secondly, no one factored in COVID. So just a fun little story. We relaunched our church from One Way Church to United Church at the end of January 2020. I explained to you what happened before that. My wife resigned from staff. She stepped off staff the end of February 2020. And in March of 2020, everything changed. And in that time, I found myself so frustrated because 2 years in, heading towards our five-year plan, nothing looked like what I wanted it to look like. And I remember just sitting there and I'm speaking to some friends, and they're like, hey, man, no one told you it needed to look like that by 5 years. Who told you that? And I realized I had put that expectation there myself. So for many of us, how many of us say, you know what, by 30, I need to do this. By 40, it needs to look like this. And maybe God is like, hey, just walk with me and I'll show you when it needs to look like that. Right? And I know culture plays a huge role. The culture is like, you know, by 25, by 28. But listen, chill, man. Jesus was 30, went back to his father's house. No one's bugging him about anything. Right? He's like, he's living in his dad's house right now. Just relax. Get off my back. I'll buy a house when I buy a house. Have you ever entertained the thought, number four, have you ever entertained the thought that our families are an interference or a hindrance to our goals? How many of us have entertained the thought that if it weren't for them, I'd be a lot further than I want it to be? Man, if it weren't for them, this business would be a lot more, you know, booming, or money would be a lot more better, or whatever it is. Have we found ourselves in that place where we inadvertently blame our families for us not having achieved what we want. Maybe that's a sign that God's blessing we've turned into a burden. Have we forgotten that family is a gift from God? Worship team, you guys can come up as I pray. Maybe this is a moment for you and I to consider that everything God gives is indeed a blessing. And the last thing we want to do is turn God's blessing into a burden. Is turn the gift that God has given us, the gift of family, the gift of a loved one who loves and cares about us, the gift of children. Man, what a gift they are, right? The gift of companionship, the gift of service unto one another. All of these things are gifts that God has given us, but we've lost perspective. Like I said earlier, our innate state is to serve ourselves at the detriment of others. And so this morning, before we wrap up, just for a second, I'm gonna pray for us in a moment, but just for a second, if we can bow our heads and just close our eyes, I want to give you some things to think about. Maybe the first step to becoming a stronger family starts with becoming a stronger disciple, a stronger follower of Jesus. Because if we're going to lead healthy families, we're going to need Jesus. There's no ways we can be better dads, better moms, better husbands, better wives, better siblings, better children without Jesus. We don't have that capacity. Could it be that we are expecting of someone else what they don't have the capacity to do on their own? Could it be like my story? Maybe many of us are trying so hard simply because we're trying to swing the pendulum from how we grew up. And maybe we just need to ease ourselves of that pressure and say, God, I'm going to need you to lead me in how to be a better husband, a better father, a better wife, a better mom. Because I've been trying to do it on my own and I failed dismally time and time again. And so this morning, I want to invite you, the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Maybe you've been so weary and worried about your family. Maybe you've been weary and worried about all these other things. Jesus says, just come to me. Just come to me. Just come to me. And so this morning, Father God, for each and every person in this place, each and every family represented, those families carrying heavy weights, those families carrying heavy burdens, those families that are carrying strain, those families that are on the brink of separation, those families who are holding on by a thread, those families living in constant conflict, who have been trying to resolve it, trying to make it work. Father God, I pray that you would be a breath of fresh air in the midst of the tension, in the midst of the chaos, and whatever that looks like. Father God, I pray that collectively we do what your word says and we come to you. Before we choose to call it quits, we come to you. Before we choose to think that the grass is greener on the other side, maybe a different spouse, a different marriage would serve me better, God, we come to you. God, we lay our families at your feet. Before we are tempted to think that they are the problem, my spouse is the problem, my wife is the problem, my husband is the problem, God, we bring ourselves to you. God, heal my heart. Check my heart. Father God, we pray that through this series, you would bring families closer together like never before. That through this series, people would find hope like never before. I pray for the stories and the testimonies to come from this series, that families who were going in one direction, you shifted that trajectory completely. And years from now, we would still see the fruit that they're able to say, hey, look at what God has done. Not look at what I've done in my own strength. Look at what God has done because we've chosen to leave our families at his feet and do things the way he's chosen to do them. God, we thank you. We love you and we honor you. In your name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website, and for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.